The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Welcome to Balanced Black Girl. My name is Les. I'm your host, and I appreciate you tapping in. So this show is all about everything that we are balancing in our day-to-day lives, whether that is our health, our career, our relationships, and so much more. But at its core, Balanced Black Girl really started as a wellness podcast. And we're getting back to our wellness girly roots today. So if you follow me on social media, which if you don't, you should, at BalanceLess on Instagram and TikTok, you've probably seen me talk about the existential crisis that I'm having around turning 35 this summer and how it's inspiring me to get into really great shape. And something that I struggle with is doing enough cardio because I tend to not really like it. But I'm very excited to welcome one of my virtual workout buddies who is one of the only people who can get me to do cardio and actually enjoy it. Please join me in welcoming Miss Kirsten Ferguson to the podcast. She is a Peloton instructor, mom of two girls, and honestly, just one of the most inspiring people who you will come across. Aww. Kirsten, welcome to the show.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for having me, girl.
I'm so excited to have you.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
So, so happy to have you. I actually learned about you from my mom, who
I love it.
Might be your biggest fan.
We're best
friends.
She
wanted to come here today when I was recording this, and I was like, maybe we can't have you fly across the country to join us.
Maybe not today, but we'll get it.
Next time.
Yeah.
But she got the tread a few years ago.
Yep.
Loved it. Mm-hmm. I went home for the holidays and I was like, let me try this out. Yeah. You know, I need to work out while I'm here. And she was like, you have to take Kirsten's classes. Aww. I love them so much.
Love mom.
So excited. She's like, Ratchet Mom Club, all about it.
I love this.
I now have a new nephew, and she's like, well, now I got to start the Ratchet Grandma Club.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. She needs to start the whole group.
All in.
I love this. Yeah. I love that so much.
So I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, what did you think about your first class?
Oh, my gosh. Well, the first class, it was a while ago. It was probably when I went home, like, last year visiting my family. But as I was telling you before we start recording, I love the hikes. I'm a big fan of the hikes.
Yes.
Doing 20, 30-minute hike class, those are my favorites because I just get bored doing anything else.
I know. And they're so good. And you'll get such a good bang for your buck, for your time, your effort on that hike is amazing. So
you always have amazing music.
Thank you. I pride myself in being the playlist queen.
Yes.
I have a good old, like old school, well, 2000s, 90s girly. That's where I like to play.
But also the sequencing of the songs, it's like the good transitions. I took one of your classes this morning and you had, I think it was Pussycat Dolls When I Grow Up into Beyonce's Grown Woman. And I was like, I see what you did there.
Oh, I just love it when it comes together. So
yes.
Great. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So can we go back a little bit? Yeah. I would love to get your wellness girly origin story. How did you get into wellness? How did you get into fitness from a personal standpoint?
Yeah, absolutely. So it goes back into high school. I was an athlete. I played basketball since the fourth grade. I was the tallest girl in school. And so the coach was like, you need to play basketball. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing, but okay. And I showed up and I was the only girl and I made the team. And I just been playing basketball ever since, well, all the way up through high school. And then my mom was diagnosed with cancer. And so I decided to really help her through that journey. And I hung up my basketball shoes for a pair of heels and moved to New York City to go to fashion school. And so that was kind of the pause from my wellness journey at that point. I moved to New York City, you know, living the life in New York City from the age of 19, discovering myself, discovering what I want to do. I worked in sports for 7 years. I worked for the NFL, loved every bit of it, but was still feeling like something was missing. I didn't know what it was at the time. I thought it was maybe children. So I walked away from my career at the NFL to have some babies. And then life just started lifing and things didn't work out the way I thought they would. I struggled with fertility for a few years. I had a couple miscarriages, I had surgery. But through that time, I found a small cycling studio in my town, and you can go there and ride on a bike in a dark room, and you don't have to feel the pressures from the outside world. You can cry, you can do whatever you need to. And that is when I really fell in love with fitness. It was right then in that moment. In my darkest time, it was exactly what I needed. And I did it every single day, every single day. Even after my second miscarriage, I literally left the hospital and I went right to the gym because that was my happy place. That's where I could find joy. And so after, now I have two beautiful girls, but I stayed committed to it. I actually got my first Peloton bike as a push present after my first daughter. So even with kids, I was still really committed to that happy place on the bike. And I stayed with it. And then one day somebody said, "Did you ever think about being an instructor?" And I was like, "No way. I'm a single mom of two. What with what time?" And was definitely not qualified to do any of that. But it's so interesting sometimes how I think God, the universe works. I came home and I turned on my computer and that company was actually having auditions here in New York. And I was like, okay, you know what? Let's just see. Let's just see. Even if none of it works out, let me just audition and see what happens. And so I did. And I got it. And I was so shocked because it was like an American Idol audition. There were hundreds of people there. I was probably the oldest one in the room. And then the imposter syndrome starts going, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here? What are you doing here?" But it wasn't until they put the mic on my face and I looked at myself in the mirror and I said, "Kirsten, this is what you're meant to do. This is what you're meant to do. You're meant to tell your story and do this. You don't have to be any of these other people. They chose you to do this, so go do it." And so I did. I did. And I did that for 2 years. And then the pandemic hit. And we were all in the house trying to figure out what's next. And like everybody else in the fitness industry, I just started teaching on Instagram Live. I had never actually done an Instagram Live. I was like, I don't even know if this is working. I was texting my friends like, "What do I do? Do I hit a button? Like, what do I do?" And I pulled out my Peloton bike. And I started teaching on Instagram Live. And then all of a sudden, Peloton DM'd me. And I was like, "Now, wait a minute. Is this real? Is this real? Is this, you know?" I was like, if he asked me for my social security number, I know this is false, fake, and not happening. And it was real. And here I sit, you know. And I think my wellness journey really started in one of my darkest times, like my real wellness journey of prioritizing my health, prioritizing my mental health. And it became more than just a workout to me. It became a way of life. And so I wanted to provide that for other people that take my classes. So now it's just a way of life for me. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That was just, thank you so much for sharing your story in that way. There's so many things that you said in there that I'm like, okay, I want to dig into.
Yeah, absolutely.
A bit more. First, just really appreciate you sharing your experiences, particularly around fertility, because that is something that is just really challenging. And especially if we have anyone listening who's going through that, just sending them so much love.
Absolutely.
It sounded like the classes that you were taking at that time were really a source of healing for you during that process. And I'm sure during the grief that you were experiencing at that time, almost the mental healing more so than the physical. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. You know, and I say that because it was, you know, it really wasn't about the physical workout. That was the bonus of it all. It was really being able to, for me, I think when someone's walking through a fertility journey, you could feel very alone. And this was at a time where I don't think a lot of people were talking about it. And I felt like I was surrounded by so many people that were pregnant and baby showers and all these things. And I wanted it so bad for myself. And I couldn't understand why it wasn't happening for me. And in those moments, you want to control everything, right? You want to be able to feel like I'm doing everything. I'm checking my temperature. I am checking the calendar. This is the day I was driving my husband at the time. Nuts! But it was not working. It wasn't happening for me. And it wasn't until I started like being like, you know what? You just need to release this and let it go. And the only place that I could control how I showed up was on that bike. You can control your resistance. You can control the ride. You can control who you're surrounding yourself with. Like, you could just be in that dark room and don't know anybody, but you're all kind of riding to this, the beat of the music. You're on all in sync, and I can control that. And I could be really great at that. I think I struggled also with feeling like I was a failure. I felt like this should be working for me. And I couldn't understand why. You know, I felt like my husband at the time was, you know, trying to figure out what was happening and dealing with it, how he dealt with it. And I didn't feel support in that. And, you know, I think as women, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. You know, we think that certain things are supposed to happen a certain way. And when they don't, it's, in my mind, was looked at as a failure. And so that was a really tough time. But like I said, fitness really, and wellness and putting my fitness first, really saved me in that moment.
Let's play a little game of true or false. So, true or false, you need to be drinking 8 glasses of water per day to stay hydrated. Well, the answer is actually a little bit more complicated because you don't just need water. You need water and electrolytes for healthy hydration. And when you drink too much water without replenishing your electrolytes, you're not hydrating at a cellular level, which is what you need to feel your best. My go-to for healthy hydration is Element. I have been drinking Element daily for years, and it's one thing that I truly can't live without. Element has enough sodium, potassium, and magnesium to get you feeling and performing your best. I love that it doesn't have any sugar or artificial ingredients, just the hydration you need when you need it. Element has a science-backed ratio of sodium, magnesium, and potassium to replenish what you lose throughout the day through sweat, especially for those who are really active. And as we approach summer, when the weather heats up and we're all sweating a little bit more, we could all use a little bit more replenishment of our electrolytes. I put a packet of Element in my large water bottle every day, and it helps me reach my hydration goals, mainly because it tastes so good. It's a little sweet, it's a little salty, and it makes me actually want to finish my water bottle because I love the taste. It's so much more appealing than plain water. Element has so many amazing flavors. I'm currently rotating between the citrus salt and the orange salt, which are so good. They also have the spicy mango chili, which I love making mocktails with, and the chocolate salt is so good in coffee and smoothies. Element has an amazing offer for us. Visit drinkelement.com/balancedless to get a free sample pack with any purchase so you can try all the flavors for yourself and find your favorite. That's drinkelement.com/balancedless for a free sample pack with any order. The key to a great outfit that we don't talk about nearly enough is making sure you're wearing the right undergarments. Like, nothing ruins a good outfit more than an unflattering bra to throw off the look. That's why I recommend you get a taste of M, a hot new collection of craveable intimates from Maidenform, a brand with a whole lot of history. They've been around since the very first bras, and now they're bringing you a new kind of classic, the chicest basics you've ever seen. Maidenform has been around for 100 years. I mean, I know my first bras were from them, yours probably were too, and the M collection is the next juicy chapter. They have the best basics that are the perfect base to any outfit. All of the pieces are made with buttery, soft fabrics that feel way more expensive than they are. The designs are on trend and made from stretchy, comfy fabrics in incredible colors. M can be worn as innerwear or outerwear that you can style to your taste for all or none to see. I've had several pieces from M in my regular rotation for the past few months and can't get enough. I talk about the Seamless Lift bralette all the time because it really is the best bra.
It is so comfortable. It's smoothing. It's flattering under any outfit. And I also love the M Smoothing Seamless Bodysuit, which is the perfect layering piece for spring. I've worn it with jeans or under blazers, and it is so comfortable. So if you're craving intimates that won't break the bank and can elevate your confidence in your cute outfits, you've got to check out M. Visit maidenform.com and use the code BBG20 at checkout for 20% off your first purchase. That's maidenform.com and use the code BBG20 for 20% off your first order.
One of the things that you had also mentioned as you were navigating your career, be it, you know, going from NFL to working in fitness, was you mentioned feeling like something was missing. Can you take us back to maybe some of those moments when you felt like something was missing, you couldn't put your finger on it? How did you navigate that space?
Absolutely. So I was working at the NFL. I loved what I was doing. You know, anybody that I tell that story, like, oh my gosh, you did that. Like, I worked on the Beyonce Super Bowl halftime show. Like, what? But something was missing, and I knew that I didn't want my boss's job. And so I was like, okay, what's next? And I thought it was going to be children. I thought, like, this is going to really fill me. And then when I went through that journey, you get so fixated on it and you're like, nope, this is going to be it. This is going to be it. Then I had my daughter, and then whoops, comes my next one. And it was an interesting moment because I did have my two kids and I wanted to be so grateful, but I still felt like something was missing and I couldn't put my finger on it. And it was like, okay, maybe I should be doing charity work. And I started doing that, but it wasn't filling me. It's hard to describe, but it was just like, I look at it as like my passion, my purpose. I know it's within me, but I'm not tapping into it. And it wasn't until I started teaching, and it wasn't until I started being my authentic self and really believing in the voice that I have, that I was like, oh, this is it. This is it. And I would do it, you know, in the pandemic, I did it for free. Did it for free. That's when you really know, like, what is it that I really love? Did it for free. You know, when I first started out in the cycling community, you're not making much money. But I would do it anyway. I would do it over and over again because it filled me, and it really lit me on fire, knowing that I was seeing other people seeing their true potential as well. And so that was my driving force behind it all. And that's when I really knew I found that thing that was missing.
Yeah. Something that I would love to reiterate about what you just said, because like we do have a good portion of our audience that are moms, whether they're like newer in motherhood or, you know, have school age kids like you do. Sometimes that guilt that can be like, okay, I love my kids, but I still maybe want more, or I still want something else. Is that bad? Is it okay? You know, and I think hearing stories like yours where, yeah, it's okay to also want to have a purpose in addition. that you can follow and kind of be that example.
It's the power of the and. You can have both. And I think sometimes people don't think you can, because motherhood is hard. It's hard. It's a lot. Some days you're like, how am I going to get all of this done? But it all ends up working out. You know, you figure it out, and it's okay to feel like that. It's okay to, you know, I definitely still have mom guilt. Days that I miss things because I have to work, or I have a class, or there's something coming up, or I'm traveling and I miss things. But they also get to watch me do my job, and they think I'm Beyonce. They think I'm a superhero. And so I think that's also super important too, is for my two girls to see, oh wow, my mom wanted to have us and is great there, but she's also still chasing after her dreams. Like, it doesn't just stop there. And I think it's important for them to see that, especially as they grow into strong women themselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think what you highlight really beautifully is like the power of the pivot. And, you know, for that purpose that you're in right now, you didn't necessarily stumble into that when you were, you know, 22, fresh out of school. It happened, you know, when you were into your 20s and 30s, and that it's okay to pivot into new things and not have all the answers right away.
Absolutely. I took many transitions. I started in fashion and now I work in fitness, you know? So you can take those pivots, and I would have never envisioned this for myself. And so I think for anyone listening, just keep your eyes open, like be open to the open doors that are coming your way. Growing up most of my life, I was terrified of public speaking, terrified of it. Now I'd speak to thousands of people every single day. And so, you just never know which way it's going to take you, and be open to it. I'm still in awe that this is what I do for a living every day, but it's also, it's got me on fire. You know, I'm turning 40 this year, and I have never felt more full, whole, and complete than I do right now. And I think it takes the journey to get there. It takes the highs, lows, pauses. Been through a lot in my life, and I'm grateful for every single obstacle because it's gotten me to this point. And it's gotten me to this point where I'm able to share my story authentically, and in the hopes that it will somebody listening will relate to it and can see it for themselves too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's like why storytelling is so important.
So important. Absolutely.
And what a beautiful way to embark on a new decade. I love that.
It's so wild. Like, I'm really stepping into this doing stuff for the first time. So I just took my very first solo trip.
Where'd you go?
I went to Mexico.
Oh, beautiful.
And it was amazing. 4 days by myself. And I was reminded that I think for a large portion of the last 3 years, I've been existing. I've been in chasing the next thing. Okay, you did that, check that off. Okay, you did this, check it off. Okay, you're learning this, check it off. Trying to be better and better and better at what I do every day. Making sure I'm checking out the list with the kids. And I was just existing, doing a lot of existing. But there was a joy missing in my life. And I realized it's because I wasn't living. I wasn't living and really being in the moment of every single day, even in the mundane, taking the second to be like, this is amazing. Like, even in the homework, the math homework that I cannot stand doing every night, but I get to do it with my two beautiful kids that are healthy and happy, and they're looking to me for support and really being in that moment, because I know this moment is fleeting and they're not going to be like this forever. And so just reminding myself to live. To live, to be present in every single day. That's hard, but I try to bring myself back to that moment that I had on that trip with that reminder.
That's so good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just checking in with yourself. Am I living or am I existing?
Exactly. When I start to feel overwhelmed, are you living or are you existing? I'm not doing much living. Let me take a second. Let me breathe. Let me take in this moment, right? Like even right now, I'm having an amazing conversation with you. I'm fully present where my feet are, not thinking about anything else I have to do today. There's a list there for sure, but I'm not thinking about it right now because I'm enjoying this moment. Mm-hmm. You know, I think far too often we're just like, go, 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 go. And you're going to miss your life, you know? So as I'm embarking on this new decade, I'm really trying to be in the moment and live, and all these things that I'm working for and achieving, I also want to enjoy them, right? Like, people that are on the grind mode to make more money, more money, more money, more money. That's great. But are you enjoying all of that, you know? So I'm really trying to just be present.
I love that you said that, because something that I've been thinking about a lot is, am I enjoying the process or am I just trying to get to an end result?
Yep.
Because if all we're chasing is end results, that just gets so, it gets taxing. That's like the epitome of existing.
And you'll get that end result and then you're just going to want more.
Right.
Right. So if you're constantly just checking, chasing the next thing, you're going to miss it all. I even liken that to, so I'm training for my very first half marathon. I know we've talked about it. You've run many, but I have not. And it so surprised me, one, that I'm actually doing it, because I was never a runner and I teach running now. I know that makes no sense, but listen, the power of the pivot. But I'm training for my first marathon right now, half marathon. Let's be clear, not full, half. And it's been an incredible journey. You know, I recently had hip surgery 9 months ago. And so when you're forced to pause, you're also forced to really appreciate the things that your body can do. you know, so 9 months ago, the fastest I can go on the tread was 1.0. And now I'm going outside and I'm running 8 miles, 9 miles, 10 miles every week, adding more, adding more, adding more. And as I'm doing it and appreciating what my body can do, I'm really enjoying the process of watching myself get better and better and stronger and stronger. And I'm in awe of the things that I'm able to do, you know? So really enjoying the process, you know, the medal that I'm going to put around my neck, the date that I run my half is going to be amazing. But the process, I have been celebrating it the entire time. Every time I run a little bit more, that next class that I teach, I am telling everybody. I am like, y'all, guess what I did? You know, because I am so proud of myself and I'm really enjoying the journey of it, you know, because that's where the work is. The end is like the party, you know, you work that hard. There you go. You know, and I really want to sit in that. I don't want to just move on to the next thing. You know, I think a lot of people are like, okay, I ran half. Now I'm going to run a full. I'm like, now, wait a minute. I'm going to enjoy this half. Yes. People are going to be sick of me talking about this half marathon. I promise you that.
And I love that you're celebrating each step along the way.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We're going to take a quick pause from today's episode sponsored by Nike. Now, this would be a good time to take a little wellness break. You can refill your water bottle. You can get up and stretch or grab a snack. Like we take breaks periodically throughout the episode, it's important for you to take breaks throughout your day to replenish yourself. Whether you do that by going for a walk, working out, or grabbing coffee with a friend, your comfort matters. And when I'm doing all of those activities I just listed, I'm usually wearing the Nike Indie Bra and Universa Legging because they're comfortable, cute, and super supportive. The Indie Bra is iconic and now comes in three different support levels, low, medium, and high, to best suit how you choose to move. Essentially, there is an Indie variation that can support you throughout your entire day. The Indie is made from soft material that fits well, is so flattering, and is designed to move with you throughout the day so you can move freely. And we cannot forget about the Nike Universa Legging. I love leggings that are smooth, stay in place, and are ready for any kind of movement. And for me, the Universa is the pair I reach for just about everything. Whether I'm running errands or heading to the gym, I know the Universa has me covered. Find your feel with Nike bras and leggings that deliver supportive flexibility and comfort for whatever your day brings. Shop now at Nike.com. Black representation in media is so important to me, and if you are listening to this podcast, it is probably important to you too. Continuing to highlight and share positive stories within our culture benefits everyone, and the next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things. Each episode shares a living account of what it means to be Black today, told from unique Black perspectives. From The Wire to Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of topics shared on Black Stories, Black Truths. As a music lover, I really love the episode on how Tiny Desk became a go-to spot for hip-hop, one because I absolutely love Tiny Desk, and it really showcases how much we as a people shape culture. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the country we reflect. Because stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I was walking through my pause, I call it my pause season, it was a really dark time for me, if I'm going to be honest with you, because I feel like I worked really, really hard to get to where I was. And I feel like I was just at that point, you know, at Peloton where, all right, everything is in flow and I'm really making strides here. But it was like, I couldn't get rid of this pain in my hip. I'm like, but I'm doing really well. What is this? And I felt like there were things that I needed to heal, not only physically, but emotionally and mentally, that I had been pushing down and avoiding for so long. And it wasn't until it was like, pause. You got to heal this in order for me to open up all the doors I want for you. And that's why today, as I sit here, I'm able to say I'm full, whole, and complete, because I did the work. And now I'm feeling great physically, but also mentally and emotionally. And I'm ready to enter into this new season of my life, you know, open arms.
That's such a good example of the ways that our bodies will try to get our attention mm-hmm. if something's going on that we're not fully kind of like processing or dealing mm-hmm. with. So it sounds like your hip was kind of the messenger mm-hmm. in, hey, we still got this going on.
Yep. We're still working on this. This. You keep pushing it down, you know, you keep pushing pain and disappointment and unhealed trauma. All these things go into your muscles, into your bones. And for me, it was going right to my left hip, you know, and I have the scars now, but, you know, it's healed and it feels really good to be in that space.
Yeah. And what's interesting is that in yoga, the hips are supposed to be kind of the emotional mm-hmm. center of the body, like what stores a lot of the emotions that we have not maybe processed. Mm-hmm. Something I'm thinking about a lot too, because I just have super tight hips, regardless of how much yoga I do, they just do not mm-hmm. seem to loosen up. And so I'm like, okay, there's something here.
Something here.
We got to deal with.
We got to dig in a little deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And I address these things head on that I think, you know, I had been pushing down since childhood. You know, I don't have a great relationship with my dad. And then that, you know, falls into relationships with my now ex-husband or in male relationships or even in friendships. It just constantly would show itself constantly, constantly, constantly. And it wasn't until I really healed that I'm like, oh, that's it. That's it. You know, that's where I feel like my doubt comes from. That's where I feel like, you know, I always feel like something's lacking, you know, so maybe I need to overcompensate to cover up where I'm lacking. And it's like, no, just need to heal that. You know, you just need to heal that. You're not lacking anything, you know? So it was doing all that inner work to now be like, okay, I could really move forward now.
That sounds so freeing.
It is, girl. Yeah. Everybody's like, I was talking to Alex Toussaint. He's another instructor on Peloton. And the other night he saw me and he was like, Kirsten, what's going on with you? Like, you got a glow about you. Like, you just, and it's not like your outfit, even though you look fly. It's something else. And I said, Alex, I am healed. I am healed. And it's not just the hip. I healed a lot of things and I'm able to move a lot freer and happier. And I can find joy in all things, even in the hard times. I'm like, okay. Because even if this doesn't happen, something better is going to happen. And I'm able to really have that mindset now. And that feels good because I have not always had that. I've constantly lived in a place of doubt or imposter syndrome or all these things. Now I feel like, okay, if it's a no, that's because another yes is coming and I'm super excited about that. Or if I see, I work with a bunch of superheroes. Every single teammate of mine is doing world-changing things. And in that, it could be also difficult because you're like, I want to do amazing things too. But instead of getting lost in that, I'm like, I can clap for them. And I know that I'm seeing it and seeing them do it because mine is coming and I'm able to be excited about that. So just switching those little mindsets and finding joy in the present moment have been where I've been working a lot.
That's so, so good.
Mm-hmm.
Were there some things that helped you get to that point in your mindset when you were, if you were able to, you know, experience imposter syndrome, begin to shift it, or experience kind of that comparison and be able to shift it? What were some of the things that helped you get there?
One, I will say I have a life coach, and she has changed my perspective on so many things, so many things. So one, it's finding someone that you can talk to and really let out how you feel. And she lets me feel. One call, she just let me cry. Just let me cry. But then she takes me out of that and shifts my perspective. I also am a big, big believer in affirmations and speaking words to yourself to empower yourself. And so anytime that I'm feeling a little doubt, I just remind myself of certain affirmations and really do that work. Journaling work is powerful for me too. Whenever I'm walking into a tough meeting, I'm like, just remember this. I have post-it notes all over my house also. Just a little quick like, oh yeah, that's right. You know, so just quick reminders for me too in that. It's a whole process. You know, one day you could fall into that, and sometimes you really just need to feel it. And then you could shift. And as I've been doing the work on me, the shift comes quicker. You don't sit in it as long as I used to before. Things that used to take me out, they don't hold weight. I really believe like a bad moment is just a bad moment. And you'll move on. You can have another great moment, you know, and really compartmentalizing those like that is a better way for me to move forward. A bad run is just a bad run. Doesn't mean the next one will be bad. Just that one. Doesn't mean you're not on your path, you know? So really just changing that mindset has really helped me.
So important. Like it's a bad moment or it's a bad day. Not a bad moment. Not a bad life. Not a bad, you know.
It could be a bad 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's just a bad 5 minutes. Doesn't mean you have a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad 5 minutes. Don't give that so much power. Just bad 5 minutes. It'd be good, you know? So it's just that quick shift and having the tools in your tool belt to really help you get through that, you know? And I surround myself with really great women, really great women. It takes a village to be able to do what I do on a daily basis. And I surround myself with people that are like-minded. I surround myself with people that excite me to want to do better. And I surround myself with real people. I think that's important too. I think it's so important too that we'll keep it real with you, because you can tell yourself a story and believe it. You could tell somebody that's not real and tell them a story and they will be right there on that pity party with you. But I surround myself with real people that are like, now girl, wait a minute. I'm gonna let you finish, but then I'm gonna tell you the real. And then I shift out of it.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's really important too, is to find your people.
For sure. Mm-hmm. That last piece about finding people who keep it real with you, I feel like especially as Leos, we really need people who keep it real with us.
You're so dramatic.
We do.
Oh, you're so bad. I don't know why we're like this.
Yeah, we need that balance.
Absolutely.
From the earthy keep it real people.
Keep it real people. And I need all of them. All of them. And I'm grateful for them because, you know, they keep me in alignment with, and they know where I want to go. And they, you know, I also stand there and support them too and keep it real with them too. I'm not one of those yes friends, really not, because I don't think that that helps anyone. You know, I'm keep it real type of girl. So that's biggest piece, I think, for me in my journey thus far is doing the work and surrounding yourself with the right people.
Hinge is the dating app designed to be deleted. Why? Because Hinge gives you a sense of someone's personality and lets you share your own. You get to know potential dates through their unique answers to prompts, plus get a sense of someone's dating intentions and what they're looking for. Now, among my friends, there is a common theme. those of us that are single are currently on Hinge using it to meet people as our dating app of choice. And for many of those in relationships, they met their partners on Hinge. So we all have Hinge in common. I sat down with some of my friends who met their partners on Hinge to hear more about their experience and to get their perspectives. And a common theme I noticed is they all had an incredibly open mind when they were dating that took the pressure off of any one date or one person they interacted with on the app to be the end all be all. They really saw the app as a tool to put their best selves forward and to connect with other people. They were also incredibly honest on their profiles and answered prompts in ways that were unique to them. So the people that they matched with and connected with got a good feel for who they were, and they were able to build more genuine connections. Now, one friend of mine who is brilliant really used her profile to communicate her preferences and boundaries with others, and it worked really well for her. She would also use the app to have pre-date calls to get to know them before going on a first real date, and really got in the driver's seat when it came to creating the dating experience she wanted to have, which I was really inspired by. Hearing positive dating stories is so important and something I really love to emphasize because we just don't hear them enough. On Hinge, there are no rules, timers, or games. If you're feeling inspired, give Hinge a try. Download Hinge today and find someone worth deleting the app for.
I loved what you mentioned about having your post-its with affirmations around too. Mm-hmm. Something interesting that I also learned about you is that you at one point had written on a post-it that you want to be a Peloton instructor.
Yes.
And that went from post-it to Peloton sliding in your DMs.
Crazy.
Which is amazing.
Isn't that crazy?
How do you think that happened?
You know, I have this one place in my closet that I do a lot of like meditation, prayer. And it was during that pandemic, during the pandemic where, you know, we were all just kind of like, what is happening? And I remember watching just Peloton soar. And I was like, wow. And I felt like I was at a point in my cycling career that I was like, okay, what's the next step? Like, this has been great, but I feel like I have more. There's more in me. There's more I want to give, especially now that I'm teaching on Instagram and reaching more people. It's like, what's next? And I actually, you know, had wrote that down on a post-it note and said, I want to be a Peloton instructor. It's still on my wall, by the way. And I left it there and I looked at it. And then when 3 months later, when they DM'd me, I was like, wow, power of manifestation is real, real. But it's also a reminder that you got to be clear and specific, because they reached out and were like, we love you. We would love for you to audition. I'm like, great. They're like, but not on the bike. I was like, okay. They're like, what do you think about the tread? And I was like, what? I was not a runner. I was not a runner. I had asthma, and that's always been my excuse for so long. We were talking about the mile in high school, and I'm like, I would always get a doctor's note. I'm like, I have asthma. Sorry, I can't do it. But there was something within me that was like, okay, you did the same thing with cycling. You did not think you were qualified to do this, and you auditioned and you got it. So why not try it and see where this can take you? See where it can take you. If anything, you're going to learn so much. You're going to meet some incredible people along the way. You're going to learn a completely different skill. Go try it. And so I studied my butt off and I learned from the best of the best. Bex Gentry was my coach, along with Rebecca Kennedy. And I cringe now thinking about my audition video, but I did it. I did it. And I still show up for like a 45-minute hip hop run. And I'm like, what am I doing? This is crazy. I am teaching running. Okay. But it's so amazing to me that, you know, you can manifest something so powerful and you just got to walk into it, you know, because it's one thing to manifest it, but then you have to also put the work behind it. You know, I think a lot of people are like, oh, I just want this, but then they don't want to do the work. You know, I think that it goes hand in hand and it's equally important. So yeah, so wild, such a wild story.
is. It's an mm-hmm. amazing story. And I love that you still have that posted.
I should frame it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And have you had to kind of take on any new identities, especially now teaching tread classes, which wasn't your initial intention? You're now taking up running, doing your first half soon. How have you embodied, like, I'm a runner, I teach running? What has that process been like for you?
You know, that has been a big mantra of mine, is I am a runner, because that sounds so strange to me. And I think running, for whatever reason, a lot of people are scared of it. You know, it's challenging. It's a challenging thing to do. And so for me to say out loud, I am a runner, I still kind of feel, well, not Bex Gentry, because she's incredible. You know, she almost made the Olympics and she runs so fast. So could I, am I actually a runner? I remember a day, it was right before I was about to launch. On our tread screen, when we walk in, you'll see a video that loops around and it shows every single tread instructor. And I remember looking at that video. It was before I was even added to the video. And I was like, Kirsten, who do you think you are? You're not good enough to be one of them. You're not even a runner. What makes you think you are qualified for this? And that voice was loud. Me and my life coach called the gremlin. The gremlin was noisy that day. But then I had to remember, they wouldn't have chose me to be here. They see something in me that I couldn't see in myself. And so, baby girl, it's time for you to believe it, that you belong, that you are different than all of them. And that is okay. And that is a beautiful thing. They didn't need another Bex. They have a Bex. They don't need another Jess Sims. They have a Jess Sims. There's a reason why you're on here. And there's a reason why you can tell your authentic story, because there is somebody else that is taking your class right now that doesn't think they're a runner. And they're going to walk with you. And then they're going to show up. And then they're going to trust to run with you. And then guess what? They're going to be a runner, you know? And it was realizing and recognizing that. And now to say, I am a runner. Wow, I am a runner. I am a runner. Look at that, you know? And just reminding yourself of that, you know? And also knowing that being a runner looks very different for everyone else. Like, it could look very different. Everybody has their own run, and it's beautiful. And I think I liken that to being a Black woman, right? Everybody has their own beautiful Blackness, you know, and you can show up authentically as you, and that's incredible. Same thing with running. You know, you don't have to have a certain time. If you do, love that for you. But if you're slow, like me, love that for us. It just takes us a little longer to get there. But that doesn't mean you're not a runner. You know what I mean? And I think that's incredible.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That just is such a beautiful... just a beautiful reminder for anybody mm-hmm. who may be experiencing imposter syndrome, is like, if I didn't have it, I wouldn't be here.
Right.
And all I need to be is myself and bring my perspective, whatever that looks or feels like for me.
Absolutely. And be your authentic self. Don't try and be anybody else but you, because people are going to notice that. They're going to see that, you know, but when you show up as you, that's when they're really going to fall in love with you, because they see who you are. So give them that, you know, and it's okay to be that, you know, and really trusting that, you know, is hard when you show up and there's 10 cameras on you and there's people watching you. And, you know, I think it's also hard. Sometimes people are waiting for you to trip up and fail and make a mistake. But that just, to me, shows that I'm human. Never claim to be perfect. I think perfection is boring as hell. If we were all walking around perfect, how boring would life be? You know, I think that's what makes us interesting. And so I hold on to that.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
I think about that a lot with my younger listeners, mm-hmm. like young women who are kind of in their maybe early to mid 20s that are trying to figure things out. And they feel all this pressure to have their lives together right at, you know, 23. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, if you had everything figured out at 23, what would you do for
the rest of your life?
That's so boring. That's... you just want to be in the same place and do the same thing in the same job with the same people forever at that point. Like, figuring it out is kind of part of the fun. And you stumble, and sometimes it's hard, but that's why we're here. That's what we're here to do.
Oh my gosh, yes. 23, Kirsten? Oh my goodness. She was a hot mess. She was a hot mess. She was trying to figure it out. She was trying to figure it out. She didn't know what she was doing. She was filled with doubt and trying things and making mistakes. You know, I even got my job at the NFL on a whim. I went for an informational interview and I wanted to be in PR. I just knew I wanted to be in PR. I thought PR was such a fabulous job. So I wanted to be in PR. I got there. They're like, we don't have anything PR. I was like, great. They're like, but we have an assistant position in sponsorship. It's like, amazing. I love sponsorship. She walks out the room to go tell the director that I'm there to interview with him. I immediately start Googling, what is sponsorship? I was like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to figure it out. And I did. I got the job that day because I'm pretty good at talking to people. And turns out a lot of the role is, you know, talking to clients and, you know, pitching them and sales and, you know, hosting them at events. And I turned out to be pretty good at that. So I figured it out. I figured it out. I went from assistant to a management position. And, you know, so I think life is all about figuring things out and trying things. You don't know what it is. Like, I went into that meeting thinking I wanted one thing. I was given something else. And I was like, oh, all right, well, let's try it. And that's really been how I've been operating in my life. You know, then I moved to cycling. I was like, oh, I don't know. Let's try it. And it worked out. Peloton came to me. It wasn't cycling, what I wanted, what I thought I'd manifest. But something even better came because it came with a challenge. It came with something new, something different, something I'd never done before. And I continue to surprise myself. And I think that's also the beautiful thing about life is even if it's challenging, you can stay in it and really surprise yourself when you find success in it. So I think that's a beautiful thing too.
Yeah, giving yourself the opportunity to rise to the occasion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of people shy away from stuff that feels hard or challenging. And then the gremlin starts. You ain't good enough. You can't do it. And then people just believe it and then they quit. You know, but I think for me, it's like, no, I'm gonna try it and see what happens. You know, I don't think there's anything... There's no such thing as failure in life. I really just believe they're all lessons. And so if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But I learned something in it, you know, and I'll take that, put it in my pocket, keep it pushing.
That's so true.
Yeah.
I think that's what's so powerful about fitness, because for a lot of people, myself included, and you can probably relate to this as well, is fitness is almost our first taste of that when you get a little bit stronger and when you get a little bit faster. Like before I started working out, I never believed in myself. I just would do what was kind of set forth or what seemed like the next easiest thing to do. And then I started working out a little bit and got a little stronger. And then I started being able to physically do things I didn't know I could do. And then mentally I'm like, oh, well, what else can I do that I don't think I can do? And it just creates this domino effect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I liken that to even running right now. I thought I was only going to run this pace at this time. But the more you do it over and over and over again, I'm like, oh, wait. I surprise myself. I never look at my watch when I'm running. I just go because I don't want that pressure. And I look down at my watch. I'm like, wow, look at you. Look at you running faster, you know? And it's a beautiful thing to see improvement. But also a lot of times in class, I say that. It's like we show up here on the tread so that you can show up in life the same way, you know? It's hard here, because it's going to be hard out there. So how are you going to show up out there? You do the work here. So it's all kind of transferable.
Exactly. It's all connected. Because when you have me on them high inclines and I finally don't hold on to it, then I'm like, what else can I do
now?
Look
at you get stronger. Look at you. Look at that. I love that for you.
It's hard.
It's so mean of me.
But it's good. It is. We need it.
We need it, for sure.
I want to go back to something that you said earlier around public speaking. You had mentioned kind of not feeling like a confident public speaker earlier on in your career. And now that is a huge part of your job. Not only are you public speaking, you're public speaking while exercising, which is a lot harder than just standing up and talking.
Yes.
Can we talk about what you did to feel more confident in that and some of the things that helped you be a more confident public speaker?
Great question. I think I'm still surprising myself in that. I think it helped when I first started that I just said, Kirsten, just go out and be you. Go out and have fun. Like, this is what you love to do. and everybody in there is having fun with you. They're not judging you. They're not looking at you, thinking about what you're saying. Just go out and be authentically you. When I was able to let go of, okay, I have to say this and I have to cue that and I have to make sure this is right. And once I let all of that go, I just had fun. Yes, the cueing is there and that's important. But I think there was a moment where it was like, you don't have to memorize all of this stuff. You can just speak. For a long time, I felt like I didn't have a voice. I was married to a very powerful guy, and I felt like I was kind of put in a little bit of a box. I was this little trophy wife, and I was supported by his side. And it wasn't until I started teaching that I was like, oh, wait, I do have a voice. I have a voice, and I can use it, and I can say how I feel. Oh, wow. Oh, wait. Uh-oh. She's not going in that box anymore. Uh-oh. And so once I found my voice and really understood my why, my fear kind of dissipated. It no longer existed. So now when I go out for, you know, a speaking engagement, I step on a stage, I remember why I'm there. I'm there to tell my story. And I can sit, you can tell your story so authentically because it's so personal to you. And you don't have to fear anything. You know, you just go out there and be you. And so that's really what I've stepped into, is just letting go of the feeling like you have to be perfect, you have to nail all this, you have to say this, you have to do that, and just be who you are. And you'll get to the things that you need to say. You'll get to the points. Even on some of our specialty classes or important classes, they're like, make sure you say this. You're like, hey, I'll get to it. I'm gonna say it the way I want to say it, but yes, I'll get to that, you know? So you just get a little comfortable in your own skin. And I think that's a process. It's a process. But the more you do it, the more you do it, just like in anything, get better and better and better. You know, your first speech is not going to be great. Just know that. But you know what? You give it your best. And then next time, keep coming out, keep going up. I think also in our training process, you would go record a class, and then you have to sit back the next day and you have to watch it with five other people critiquing your class. And I used to cringe at those moments, because you're like, ooh, why did I say that? I didn't mean to say that. Oh, gosh. But I think that's so important, you know, to watch back your classes and see what you're saying and see how you're moving, see how you're running, look at your form. All of these things was important for me to continue to work on getting better. So I still batch back my classes to this day and think of ways that I can say things differently and let the music breathe a little bit and then speak. You say something powerful, don't say something powerful again right away. Let people soak that in. You know, it takes time, it takes practice and everything. But I think getting over that fear for me was really just being comfortable in my own skin. Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Something that I think about a lot, or that I say to myself a lot, is that we're all experts in our own experience. That's the only thing I feel like an expert in. It's just like my experience.
Yes.
So being able to do as you say and share your story and be authentically yourself, like that is what all of our expertise is.
Absolutely.
In.
Absolutely. I think it's also important that one person that believes in you, you know, just sees something in you. And then you start doing it a little bit more and they still believe in you and they're still there and they're still coming back for more. I think that was also a key for me too. And so I try to do that when I meet someone that, you know, I can sense is a little nervous to step out there. It's like, let me hear more. I like that. Let me hear more, you know, and really giving them the opportunity to step out of that skin. I think a lot of people are so quick, and you're great at it, at letting people speak and then listen, right? A lot of people just want to bark back. No, listen, hear what they're saying, and then give them the confidence to keep going in that. It's good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
There's so much power in just being that person who believes in somebody.
Yes. I have a few really amazing people that I know that really just listened to me and saw something in me early on that I did not see in myself at all. And they're like, say more of that. Go there. Give me more there. I was like, really? You want more there? Like, yeah. I want to know why you feel like that. Don't just say that. Tell me the why. And I think that's why I'm so authentic and vulnerable in a lot of my classes. Because it's one thing to say a powerful quote, but what does that really mean? How are you attached to that? Like, I want to be in that emotion with you, right? So it's kind of drawing them in. It's interesting.
Yeah, and having that personal anecdote, because a lot of us, like, we know the famous quotes. We've heard them, you know, 1,000 times, but hearing how somebody real applies it. Hears it in a different way is so powerful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the real story and how it's applicable in their lives. It's like, oh, wow, now it hits, you know, now it hits. And now I'm thinking about how that is possible in my life, you know? So yeah, that's what I strive to do in class, is not just be the one that's like saying all the positive things. It's like, no, this is the real, this is my story. You know, this is what happened. And this is, you know, how I'm able to use this mantra or affirmation to help me get through that, you know? So that helps.
One of the things that you said once that I really loved was you were talking about quitting and you were talking about how your daughter was feeling frustrated with basketball and thinking she wanted to quit. And you said to her, if you have a really great game and you still feel like you want to quit, then you can quit. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's such a great example of having a personal anecdote that hits so much more than just sharing a generic quote about quitting. So I'm like, oh, I'm an adult. And even I think that, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
make me, you know, if I want to quit podcasting after I have a really great interview. Okay, great.
Great. But
if I say that I want to quit after, you know, maybe something flops or doesn't do as well as it wants to, that's not what is, you know, where is that coming from? Where is the power in that? And it was just such a good nugget that I still think about.
Yeah. I remember that day where it happened, where she said that. And I remember, it's interesting because things happen in my life and then I'm like, oh, I got to help. I got to share it. Whether it's something my daughter did, something crazy, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be a funny moment in class. Or if it's something powerful and I'm like, oh, I got to share this moment. Because it was a real raw moment in my household where she really felt like she was not good enough to move forward. I see it, but I'm her mom. Her coaches see it. But their coach is. And I really needed her to see it in her. And so when I said that, I was like, I'm going to let you quit. And she was like, really? Because she was surprised. I was like, oh, after you have a really great game. And she was like, okay, fine. So then she went to practice the next day. It was a little bit better. It wasn't as hard as, you know, the practice before. And then she went out and had that game. And she was on a high. And it's just that reminder, right? Like, bad day. Bad day is just a bad day. Bad practice is just a bad practice. You know, you don't really want to quit. You're just frustrated. Let's call it what it really is. You're frustrated. You're disappointed. I see that and I recognize that. But let's try it again. Let's try it again and see. And so that's, and honestly, it's, I look back at that moment and there's days that I'm like, bump this. I'm going to quit. And I'm like, Kirsten, you can't because your daughters are watching you. They're watching you. And that is a level of expectation that I carry every day, you know? And so it's like, no, I can't quit. I quit after a really great day, you know? Or even the other day, you know, we were doing homework. And I'm like, we finish what we start, as Ferguson's. We finish what we start. Then I was doing something. Or she was doing her Valentine's. And I was like, all right, let's just do some tomorrow. Like, I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I don't want to do anymore. She's like, no, Mom, we're Ferguson's. We finish what we start. I'm like, you're right. And then the next day I was running on the treadmill or my tread at home. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go out and run 6 miles. And I was like at 4.5. And it was just a really hard run. I just, my head was not in it. I was like, no. I was like, I think I'm just going to stop now. Just don't have it in me today. And then I was like, nope, we're Ferguson's. We finish when we start. You know, so it's holding on to these things that you said and really making them applicable in real life. Yeah.
Sometimes taking your own advice is hard.
Hard. Oh my gosh.
I'm like, no, I said that for y'all, not for me.
Right. And honestly, I'm walking through something like now where I'm like, now more than ever, all those beautiful, happy things that you say in class, girl, it's time to listen to yourself. or even Tunde has called me out. She said, I was just a funk. I was just a funk. And she had taken one of my classes and she was like, Kirsten, go take this class. You go take this class tomorrow. And then tell me how you feel. And I did. And I was like, wow, I needed that. She was like, see, listen to your own words, you know? So we're human too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Powerful.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of your favorite classes to teach? Do you have any where you're like, I love this format or I love bringing this forward?
I love a walk plus run. I love a walk plus run. I think I love a walk plus run the most because it's at that point where if you've been walking me for a while, this is where you're going to dip your toe into it because you know you have equal amounts of walking and running. And so it's really the next beautiful step in running, getting into running. And so I love watching people step into that. It's super exciting. But then it's also a space for everyone. Like it's a space for that advanced runner that is, you know, has the opportunity to work on speed, knowing that you have a walk recovery. And honestly, it was the place that I started. You know, I've been in my training and I started with a walk plus run. And it takes a little bit of the pressure off of saying, okay, I'm going to go run 4 miles. It's like, no, we're going to walk a little. We're going to run a little. We're going to walk a little. We're going to run a little. And you're like, okay, I can do this. I'm going to run for 3 minutes and then I'm going to walk for 3 minutes. Got it. You know? And so it's a beautiful entry point, but it also is a type of class that just takes the pressure off and then you can have fun and really enjoy the run. So that's one of my favorite classes to take and teach. I love the hikes. I love the hikes. People sleep on it because they're like, oh, what's a walk? I'm like, nah, they're hard. They are hard. And they're a great strength builder for when you do get into running. Great low impact. So anybody that's dealing with injuries, great low impact class. So that would probably be a close second. And then my third favorite is the HIIT run. Love sprinting. I love a quick burst. It's that addicted to achievement feeling where you're out of breath and you're like, and then you walk and you go do it again, you know? So I love those. Those are my favorites.
All such good ones.
Mm-hmm.
Such good ones.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the hikes too. I feel like people shouldn't sleep on those.
Don't sleep on them. Do not sleep on them, especially like a 45 minute one. Ooh wee. Buckle up, buttercup. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You'll be in for a time.
Yes, that is for sure. I'll have the playlist to get you through it, but it is not going to be an easy walk.
It's not for the weak.
No,
yeah.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
A good opportunity to challenge yourself.
Do something different and challenge yourself in a different way. And you'll leave feeling really good. Yeah, definitely. For sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can you also tell us about your intention setting walks? Those are really beautiful.
You know, I started the intention setting walk. They challenged me when I first started at Peloton with teaching longer walking content. So 45, 60 minute class. And it was on Sundays. And so I was like, okay, I want to create something that is meaningful on a Sunday morning that will set people up for their week. It also kind of gives me a format to talk through if I'm teaching every Sunday long class. Like, what are we going to talk about? And like I said, affirmations and manifestation process is really near and dear to me. And so I just kind of started it. I didn't even have a name for it. I was like, I have four thoughts for you today. And then it just developed into this and developed into that. I was like, I'm going to call it Intention Setting Sunday. And then, you know, as a newer instructor, you kind of play with different music and see what happens, you know? And I am a big, big fan of gospel and Christian music. It just speaks to my heart. Whenever I'm down or I need motivation or if I just need a reset, I'll play a good Christian song and I'm just ready. I was a little nervous, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to play it one Sunday and see what happens. And, you know, I'm very selective of the music that I play because I want it to be a space for everyone to enjoy. So I started, you know, start the class with one and it got a great, you know, everyone loved it. And so I just kept doing it. And honestly, that class is just, I share my heart. I share what I'm walking through. I share mantras that I'm writing down in my journal in the hopes that it will really help someone else that is walking through something challenging. That has always been my why and my North Star and why I do what I do. And so the class just became that. And now it I don't know why I didn't say that first. That is my favorite class to teach is that class, you know, 100%. I get lit on fire. There's a smile on my face that is so big every time I teach that class because it's my heart. It literally is my heart. And I really love what I do. And I'm able to have that space and time to share it.
I love it. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Definitely beautiful. Thank you for sharing that and just for sharing your heart and your work the way you do.
Yeah. Yeah. It lights me up. Yeah. It lights me up. And it's that passion piece that I thought was missing within me. It has filled that to the fullest for
that
sure.
An amazing feeling.
Yeah. Ugh. Absolutely.
So good.
Yeah.
Kirsten, thank you so much for joining me
Thanks
today.
Thanks for having me. This was amazing. Oh,
this was just like, I think just the inspo and just the uplifting Yay. That we all needed.
Yay. I'm so glad. Thank you. This was
so
awesome.
Thank you for being here. So can you let our listeners know where they can find you, how they can work out with you if they're not familiar?
Yes, absolutely. You can find me on the Peloton app. I am a tread instructor, but I also, if you don't have a tread, I teach outdoor classes. So audio only, you can take walks, you can take runs, ton of classes on the app for that. I also teach stretching, arms and light weights. So if you want to get a little lightweight workout in, you could take some of my classes there. And then you can find me on Instagram and I am Kirsten Ferguson, as well as TikTok. I am Kirsten Ferguson.
Amazing. We'll have all of your information linked in the show notes. I'll have to get the Balanced Black Girls together. We'll take a class together sometime.
We have
sometime
to do. That would be so
pull
fun.
Up to a live
pull
class.
Up.
That'd be fun.
Yes. Got you. Well done. Okay. Done. It's not already done.
Perfect.
Yay.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yay.
And thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Balanced Black Girl. I'm so happy you're here. If you liked this episode, please make sure you leave us a 5-star rating and review because I'm trying real hard to offer a 5-star experience and we need your ratings. Make sure you're subscribed on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, all of the places, wherever you like to get your Balanced Black Girl. And I will see you next week.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.